After a long wait, America's biggest, most adored sport returns in earnest tonight. 24 NFL teams play their first preseason game of 2018. Each of them has Super Bowl dreams. Everyone's undefeated. You can feel the excitement. Okay, yeah. I mean, I'm as big a football fan as you can imagine. And when I think about sitting down to watch a game tonight, I feel uneasy, uncomfortable.
NFL, after it announced the organization will now require players to stand during the national anthem if they're on the field, or their teams will face a fine.
He's going to say, that guy that disrespects our flag, he's fired.
We want people to be respectful at the national anthem. We want people to stand. That's all personnel, and make sure that they treat this moment in a respectful fashion.
It isn't football anymore. It's real-time political warfare with a field as a stage and the boring old American national anthem as the plot device. Why are we still talking about this 3 years later? Why can't we get past this issue? And will we ever be able to just watch football again? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story.
I think kneeling will be up if it was a stock tonight, because now there is no consequence. If you want to kneel, get it in now. We got a 2-for-1 sale on kneeling in the preseason.
Donovan Bennett is a Sportsnet reporter and columnist and occasional guest host of this podcast. Donovan, are you still a football fan these days?
It's a great question. I'm a Canadian football fan. I mean, I don't know if that helps. In listening to your intro, I feel the exact same way, and maybe worse, because not only am I someone who grew up with the NFL, loved it, I grew up as a Cowboys fan. I love the Cowboys, and it's hard to reconcile cheering for America's team, or part of America's team, it seems, and cheering for a team that is going to make Jerry Jones a copious amount of money when what he says and what he's forcing, it seems like, his players to say and do doesn't really jive with how I believe you should treat people at the end of the day.
So catch us up about Jerry Jones in particular. Just a quick rewind. The NFL passed a rule earlier this year that said players would either stand for the national anthem or remain in the locker rooms. The NFLPA, the players' union, fought back, and currently that rule is up for debate. But Jerry Jones is the owner of the Cowboys, and what's he said?
He's basically taken the conversation away from the rest of the owners and said, I don't really care what you do with the PA. I don't really care what deal you've worked out. We've worked out a deal here, and our players will not only stand for the anthem, they will stand toes on the line. So he's dictating how you were going to stand as well. His son, who's also in the front office with the team, Stephen Jones, has said the same thing. And when you draw a line in the sand like that without any collective bargaining and you dictate terms, well, two things happened. Number one, it puts your players in a very awkward position, and Dak Prescott would be the first, the quarterback of the Cowboys, who's a young player who's in a leadership position. But people immediately asked him, and he's an African-American, how he felt about it. And so do you side with your employer, or do you side with many other players? So that was awkward, and Dak sided with his employer, and the fallout has been swift. There's a mural in the Dallas area of Dak Prescott with his eyes watering, similar to the scene from Get Out, basically saying that Dak Prescott is in the sunken place, and he's basically, you know, under a spell by his white owners. Richard Sherman, an outspoken player, tweeted that the language that Jerry Jones is using, and basically the tactics, is of that of a slave mentality, that he's dictating to African Americans what they will do and how they will do it, and not giving them any agency for themselves. So the Cowboys alone, one team, it's a mess, and we're only 2 months away from the league putting a policy in place so that we wouldn't be talking about it. And what has happened? We're now talking about it more.
Yeah, so that's my biggest question for you, is how did this backfire so spectacularly?
I really feel they legislated for no reason, that this was a story that was going to slowly go away, that the players' coalition had brokered a deal where the owners were going to put up, you know, upwards of $80 million towards the charity of their choosing, and that it wasn't part of the conversation. We were talking about what is and isn't a catch and the helmet rule. We weren't talking about what is or isn't a protest.
And the Eagles won the Super Bowl, and over the course of the playoffs, players stopped kneeling. The conversation kind of returned to the field, and then as soon as the season ended, the NFL comes out with this new policy, and it's like we rewound the tape to this time last year.
100%. We rewound the tape to 2 years ago in 2016 when this started. It's crazy that it was that long ago with Colin Kaepernick, who is still out of the league.
Ultimately, it's to bring awareness and make people, you know, realize what's really going on in this country. There are a lot of things that are going on that are unjust. People aren't being held accountable for. And that's something that needs to change. That's something that, you know, this country stands for freedom, liberty, justice for all. And it's not happening for all right now.
So the league tried to put together a policy that in their mind would appease both sides. Players really wanted to protest. They could do it silently. They could do it in a locker room where there were no HD or 4K cameras filming them. But everyone who was on the field was going to stand. And that was supposed to appease, if we're being honest, Donald Trump and his base. The issue is it appeased neither. Donald Trump felt it was more disrespectful for players not to stand for the anthem, for them to be in the locker room. He said that recently at a rally in Montana.
So they say, go into the locker room. So, okay, the anthem's getting ready to play. They run into the locker room. Then they come back out. You know what? That doesn't play.
And players felt like, well, wait a minute. I thought we were partners. Why weren't we part of this conversation? How are you dictating this? And obviously they felt the whole part of a protest is for it to be visible, for it to make people uncomfortable. You're taking that right away from us. That's not making us happy. And now we've got a big mess, especially when it was somewhat controversial, but when a document was leaked by the Miami Dolphins, the AP leaked a document stating what their policy was going to be. The league asked every team to file what they were going to do as far as...
Right, their plans for protesting players.
Exactly, because the league basically put it in the team's hands and said, we are going to fine you if players actively protest, but you have the right to fine those players. And the Dolphins said that it was conduct detrimental, that it could be anywhere from a game fine to a 4-game suspension. When people said 4-game suspension and looked at some of the suspensions players have gotten for things like abusing drugs or domestic violence, and really standing with a fist in the air or taking a knee is a 4-game suspension.
And that's a quarter of their yearly income, basically.
Yes.
So you mentioned Trump. Obviously, he's kind of the elephant in the room when we have this conversation. What do you think he does tonight? Do you think we can see an NFL tweet from the president? Like, it seems like no matter what happens, he's going to weigh in somehow. He's openly said that this is good for his base, right? He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and unlike going at, and I laugh when I say it because it's so ridiculous, unlike going at LeBron James, like, you know, mere hours after he opens up a school for at-risk youth and does more for education in his community than Trump's Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, is doing right now.
Right.
Hours after challenging his intelligence via Twitter, like that was not a winning argument. This, for Trump, is a winning argument. It plays to his base, and it is a political act. There's a reason why Mike Pence flew across the United States last year to go to a game in Indianapolis, a Colts game, where players were knowingly going to protest, for him to watch them protest and then stomp out and get back on his Learjet. That was all so that he could send out a tweet saying how upset he was, and it would basically, it would be in line with his base. But in my opinion, it would also distract, because when we're talking about this, we're not talking about tariffs or Russian intelligence or Stormy Daniels. We're not talking about all the things that we probably should be talking about. I see Trump using this as a diversion tactic more than anything else.
Do you think this issue still actually matters to the average football fan? I know me and you have kind of had conversations. We're both people who are paid to sort of have politically engaged opinions. But is there still that fan who just wants to kick back and ignore all this and have a beer and watch the game? And how can the NFL avoid losing them?
Yeah, it's a great question. And there's been lots of talk about dwindling ratings and just apathy around the league. And how much of that is, you know, the epidemic with CTE and concussions, and how much of that is other options, and how much of that is this conversation. It's tough to know. All I know is this, that if you're a diehard Seahawks fan or Niners fan, are you not going to watch your team because a player kneels? If Jarvis Landry gets you 20 points, but he kneeled to start, are you going to cut him? I think that we conflate people being upset with the actual actors and them being upset with the actual sport. And I think fans are still going to love football. I don't necessarily feel great about it. I feel like I want to take a shower sometimes after consuming the NFL, and I don't certainly consume it now the way I did when I was a kid. But when the Super Bowl is happening, I'm still going to sit down and watch. When something is trending on Twitter, I'm still going to go to Red Zone Channel to make sure I see all of the great action. We still love the drama, the pomp and circumstance that comes with the NFL, which is why I just feel like if the league just let this naturally go away, if they let the kind of tide kind of go away and something else would come and take up this oxygen in this space in our conversation, that they would have been much better off.
So there have been policies upon policies about this, and each team is different, and players have made statements, owners have made statements. What happens, your best guess, if someone does kneel tonight in one of the 12 games?
I mean, honestly, I think kneeling will be up if it was a stock tonight, because now there is no consequence. If you want to kneel, get it in now. We got a 2-for-1 sale on kneeling in the preseason, and it is a bit of a game of chicken. We know that it's being discussed right now. The players know that. So I think they want to send a message that they're not going to go away quietly. It's a game of chicken with two sides, right? The owners are playing a game of chicken with Donald Trump, who has nothing to lose, not going to back down. And they're playing a game of chicken with the players, who already feel like they aren't respected. This is a league where they don't have guaranteed contracts, where the average length of a player's career is much shorter than the other four professional leagues. They already feel a bit disposable. And quite frankly, they are. And so this is an area where it sounds a little too jocular to say, but they're standing up in a way for their manhood and saying that you may have more influence and more money, but you don't necessarily have more pride. And we are taking a stand, regardless of the issues that Kaepernick wanted to highlight. I think many are standing up for their right to stand. And that's why still, to this day, the week where we saw the most players stand for a national anthem was on the heels of Donald Trump calling them sons of bees.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now, out, he's fired. He's fired!
That's when we saw it. And there wasn't a rash in issues with the police and minorities that week. It was because their ability to stand was taken from them.
And I think the players' original intent in kneeling, which was to call attention to the treatment of minorities by police, has, you know, in some ways been accomplished. I mean, we've been having this dialogue every time we talk about football for the last few years. But what's at issue for them now is who owns the game. And can you get rid of the players, really? Because at the heart of it, that's what we're discussing here, right? Is that the owners aren't the ones on the field, and the players feel that they're on the field. They can do what they want and go ahead and try to replace us.
Exactly. I mean, whether it's the Cowboys or the Dolphins, if your star players start kneeling, are you going to start playing with replacement players? Like, how far are we willing to take this? The answer is obviously no. And I almost think that we're going to get to a place where liberal owners are going to try and corner the market, and it's going to be something that they publicize. Both owners in the state of New York, both the Jets and Giants, have come out and said they will not fine players for taking a knee or doing any protest. The Johnson family, the owner of the Jets, has come out as far to say we will pay any fines for players. And so, listen, if you're someone who just wants to get on the back end of the roster, you'll take a contract anywhere. If you're putting your brain at risk, you're taking a contract regardless. But if you're someone with agency, someone with choices, someone who has a brand and has some say, and you're saying, well, do I really want to play for Team X or Team Y, or do I want to play somewhere where I feel appreciated? I think that's going to be the new advantage in free agency, is where do you align politically that maybe where you line up in the fall playing football.
Is there any room for reconciliation on either side, or have we already kind of split up into our camps? And like, it seems like we talk about this with basically every issue we discuss on this podcast. People have become so much more divided. Is there any way that the players could win over Donald Trump, or, you know, or even just win enough of the support of the fans to make this a non-issue no matter what the president says?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think we've come too far and we've been talking about it for too long, and both sides are so stuck in. And I think we were getting to a point where the players were going to say, well, what's our end goal? We could stand with a fist in the air. We could kneel. But ultimately, that's not bringing back Trayvon Martin or Michael Brown or Eric Garner. And if the owners are giving us real money, those are going to go to real causes. We got close. But then the owners took it a little too far and tried to dictate to them without talking to them. And now we're basically back in 2016. I think the closest thing to a winning solution for the NFL would be going back to prior to 2009. When, and we don't really remember this, but when players weren't on the field for the national anthem, but as soon as they got in line with the Defense Department and took money to put players on the field and put the flag on the field and put the military on the field and have flyovers to make it a now political statement, they monetized the idea that the NFL is America's game and America is tied with love of country, which means love of military. If they could go back even prior to that, when no one really knew what was going on during the national anthem, people were getting hot dogs and having conversations, that would be the closest thing. But I don't think this is a winning argument for either side until we have a new person in the White House.
Thanks, Donovan.
Anytime.
That was The Big Story. You can find more from us, including our whole catalog of episodes, at thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can also contact us there and let us know what we should add to that catalog. Or hit us up on social media at Big Story Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And of course, you can find us and subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to rate, to review, to tell your friends, and to root for the Detroit Lions this coming season, even though they will be horrible. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.